And more wishes. Oh, no, we go make some. Yeah, go give him one and go make a bunch of them. No, no, we want the whole pack. Give him the whole pack. Yeah, the whole pack. Are we running for Christmas? Town of Ruley committee meetings for October 3rd, 2011 will come to order. Please turn off or silence electronic devices. Mr. Avery, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember O'Meara.
Here.
Councilmember Abad.
Here.
Councilmember Andrade.
Yeah.
Councilmember Hirschfeld.
Present.
Debbie's not here tonight. Her husband suddenly became ill, so we're gonna give Patricia, if she doesn't do the overheads just right, that she's doing it on the fly. First item on the agenda, minutes of the regular meeting of September 12th. There's a copy in the package. If you have any comments or changes, let us know and put that on the agenda for next time. Next item is committee reports. First is Public Works. The COVID program, we have four people who have actually paid up and put their deposit down. And two maybes. One of the maybes came in today. Looks like he's probably going to do half of it and maybe one more. So the maximum we'll have this year is six, which is a very, very low number, but that's the way it goes. Wayne is going to try to get started in October because the weather's much better, but it depends on other things that we keep up with all the other work. So the COVID program is going to be pretty quick this year. Ruley Oak Tree, last time Mr. Avery suggested that we take a look at the tree and it didn't look too healthy. There's a guy named Miles Brashear who works for LSU. He came out and looked at the tree and there's a wide variance of experts who give advice, but we're sticking with him since he gave us advice the last time. And he says we need to take a look at one branch that we might need to cut, but he wants the tree fertilized. The tree will not be fertilized until February, so we've contacted somebody who does fertilizing. It's a injection type of fertilizing, and they're going to give us a price like in February when we call them back. It's too early right now for them, you know, chemical prices change, but we're going to do that in the winter. And Roy is here somewhere, I think. Roy's here. He brought me all the documents and stuff, and we received notice from the contractor that he's going to start the overlay project on the 10th of October. And it's pretty quick, so that won't take very long. It's just two streets, and we'll be able to knock that out pretty quick. Roy, you got anything to add?
No, that's just when his contract time will run. I don't know exactly when he's going to move on site.
Oh, okay.
I'll get that information later this week.
All right. Well, that's fine. But we advertise when the bids are that, you know, we're not in a hurry. We know we're a small job, and if it helps the price, they can come and, you know, and do us as a fill-in job. So they like it that way, and we like it that way. Anything else, Public Works? Anybody have Public Works?
Parishes. We talked earlier, staging that drag line wrap up. Begin the dredging of the Parish Canal and tying the way they dredged it behind Reed Proppin. They're going to stage it at the Hampshire Coast and work their way in. So they're in the process of doing that.
Okay. Anybody else? This, for those of you who don't come every time, these are committee meetings. And as a result, we don't mind having, we encourage comments from the public. Just, it's not an official public hearing, but we don't vote on anything until the regular meetings, but these are just open discussions where we talk about things as they come along. That's why if you have something, just raise your hand and we'll go from there. Planning and zoning, the meeting minutes of the September 28th meeting are in your package. At that meeting, the public hearing was held for Harding's West subdivision. It lasted about 45 minutes. There were a lot of good comments. The item was tabled for the next meeting. However, since that time, the meeting has been moved up to next Wednesday, which is October 5th, at which time the planning commission will, I assume they will vote on it. Prior to that vote, even though the public hearing has been held, there will be an opportunity for public comment at that meeting. So if anybody wishes to talk about it either now or then, you can do that. And actually, that's the next item on the agenda, to discuss the Harding's West preliminary plat. Is anybody would like to talk about it?
Make a correction. You said next Wednesday. It's this Wednesday. But you did say October 5th.
Okay, I'll try to do better next time. October 5th. This Wednesday.
6:30.
It's on the announcements at the bottom. Okay, you okay, wait. Come on up, Russell. And just like at the public hearing, why don't you give your name so it'll be recorded?
Rusty Daigle, address of 1755 Orleans Quarters Drive. Just a general question as to why we're moving the meeting up to the October 5th and not waiting until the 28th.
You didn't receive a copy of the letter that I wrote to Mr. Carroll suggesting that we do that?
I did.
What did it say?
It said that you were going to move it up. I don't have it present.
No, I don't move them up. The planning commission moves their own meetings. I don't move meetings up. I suggested that they move it up. I talked to Mr. Carroll about it, and he agreed. If you want to know the side of the letter said, what the real reason is because nothing will be gained by waiting another month. All the public hearing has been held, and everybody had their say, and the only thing that didn't happen that night was the lack of a vote, and that was because of confusion as to where we stood as it relates to the transmitting of the preliminary plat for the renamed subdivision, which is 30 lots smaller than the original one. And that has since been taken care of, and both the water board and the fire department have indicated they'll be providing us letters tomorrow addressing both those issues.
Okay. And I do have a copy. It was the letter that you had written to Mr. Bono. I didn't know if he had a reply back. That I did not see.
No, I went to his house and handed it to him. And as a result of that, he polled the planning commission members to see what their thoughts were. I didn't actually talk to him. He sent me a message back and said, yes, the planning commission wanted to meet on Wednesday night, at which time Marianne put together an agenda, and that was mailed out, posted, and everything else.
Okay. And as far as nothing to gain by postponing it, there would be nothing to lose by postponing it either. So, I mean, just, I guess this is the first that I'm hearing where we made the exception. If something was tabled in a previous planning and zoning meeting, that if it was tabled to the next one, it always waited till the next one. And then it just seemed like there was an urgency to take this meeting and hurry up and push it forth.
Yes.
For the 5th. And I know you said there's nothing to gain, but there was nothing to lose by holding it back as well and waiting until when it was originally
tabled. The next meeting of the council, where the council has an opportunity to vote, is November the 14th. So really, you're talking about almost a month and a half. And the council members that I spoke to verbally agree with me that there's nothing to be gained by waiting any longer. But they've been receiving phone calls. They've heard the discussion. Everybody has said what they have to say. And I don't think there's anything to be gained, but I did ask them what their opinion was, and they seem to think it was. And if they disagree with me, then we can just table it at the council meeting and put it off until November. We don't have to vote on it this next month, a week from today. When the council can take that choice, and they can table it themselves if they wish.
Okay, when the P&Z meets in October, and you said it would not go before the council until November the 4th?
14th. Yeah.
So that isn't adequate enough time for them to have it go before the P&Z at the end of October, and then go still before the council on the 14th?
No, there's nothing. No. By putting it off until, putting the planning and zoning vote off until October 28th, I think, which is whatever the date is, on the 4th, Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
there's nothing to be gained between now and then in the way of knowledge where they can't vote on it, the planning commission member. Carol's back there, and he might be able to, he may or may not want to comment on that, but they've gained all the information they need as a result of the planning, of the public hearing being open and closed at the same meeting. And the only purpose for meeting Wednesday is for them to vote on it. And they only recommend, they do not decide. And then the council has it in their hands. If the council on the 10th of this month, which is a week from today, decides that they don't have enough information, or they don't think, you know, they don't want to vote on it or whatever, they can always table it themselves. But as you know, the final say is the council. And the purpose of my recommendation was that this was an administrative error, that the redone plat was not transmitted to two different people. That has since been corrected, and there's nothing to be gained between by them waiting to vote another 3 weeks or whatever the time is. 25 days, I think.
Allison Connor at 1775 Orleans Quarters. We did put a letter to Mr. Fontenot, Carol Fontenot. I believe it was hand delivered to him today.
He got it another way. It was hand delivered to me, but he's got it.
Okay. With Orleans Quarters as a subdivision's reservations with Orleans West development, that Planning and Zoning Commission, we're saying that they were not in compliance with the cul-de-sac, 500 foot every cul-de-sac requirement ordinance, and also the 800 foot block. So again, for the Planning and Zoning to go ahead and push this forth to the council, we do wish the council goes ahead and has this information so that they can read their own regulations that are on Ruley's website as our planning and zoning regulations for the town. Mm-hmm. How are we going to, they're asking for no variances, they say. These would be obvious variances in it.
No, they would not be variances.
That it's longer than an 1,800 foot block, and that they're not putting cul-de-sacs at 500 feet?
No, you need to, if you read the ordinance, and I'm not going to try to get into an argument about words, but if you read the ordinances, it doesn't, your interpretation that the cul-de-sac has to be 500 feet or less from the next intersection is incorrect. And the thing about the 800 feet, that can be, that the Planning Commission has the opportunity to recommend to the council another right-of-way if in fact it does come to pass that that's what they want to do.
Okay. Saying that they would connect servitudes.
Well, they already have the servitudes correct connected, but they would have maybe add another one to that where to cure the 800 foot issue.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't say that in the code, but it's pretty obvious that the best locations of the servitudes are in line with the ones that are already there. In other words, if you right. just put a servitude out there, it's not lined up with anything, kind of like spinning your wheels. So the ones that are there are lined up with the ones that are already, the ones that are proposed are the ones that are lined up with the ones that are already there. If the council wishes to add additional right-of-ways, they're certainly capable of doing that. But if you read the code, it says that the Planning Commission's responsibility is to suggest those type of things, it's not a go-no-go. It's a go-no-go for the council, but it's not a go-no-go for the Planning Commission.
So basically, this is going to fall on the council. That's what I'm saying.
Everything
I want to make sure that the council is aware of what our hesitations are to the development in the first place.
The council, within an hour of the time I received this, the council got this from you.
Okay.
The letter that says all the concerns that you have.
Correct. And North Laveau being a major concern for us, that it's the
right
condition of it, to hand the value of it, is another concern of ours.
Yeah, well, I have a concern. It says, we are concerned about an apparent collusion between the mayor's office, the city council, and the planning and zoning committee, and their readiness to abrogate their responsibility to their electorate. Can you explain that to me?
It just seems that everything is being thrown through very quickly. If we tabled one, we came to planning and zoning, we put our concerns on the table. It was told to us at that meeting that it was going to be tabled until the 28th. We go home, not 2 days later, we go, oh, nope, sorry, we've decided. The developers contacted you, is my understanding, that they want to make sure that they come to the council on the 10th. So we need to hurry up and have planning and zoning revisit it so they can give their recommendation to the council.
So that would just be collusion between me and the developer, right? You accuse the council and you accuse the planning commission. That you signed this letter, right?
Correct.
Okay, then, is it just collusion between me and them, or is it all four of us? Collusion, you know what collusion is?
Yes, I do. I'd say between you and them.
Okay, so collusion means we're doing something that's not up on the, or that's not on the up and up, right?
And
all four of us are abrogating our responsibilities to the electors, is that right?
Yes.
Am I understanding your letter right? Because that's what those words say.
Yes.
Okay, all right, that's why you cleared that up for me, thank you. Next. Rosa, you gotta come up just like everybody else. No, you have to come up just like everybody else. No. And you state your name and your address, and speak into the microphone.
My name is Rosa Staley, 2629 Live Oak Drive, Brule, Louisiana, 70719. Can I ask this question about the HOA supposedly meeting last night? Can I or can I not?
I would prefer if you not. You can ask any question. This is a public open meeting. I prefer it. That's a civil matter between the homeowners association and the developer.
But
I don't consider it collusion, but I consider it would be good if they talk about it.
Huh? You can ask it.
I just right, prefer Mom, if okay. I don't answer it.
As a point of order, normally on council meetings and council committee meetings or any public body, the comments are directed to the public body and the questions are asked at the public body, not between members of the audience. So let me ask you a question. Who are you directing your question to?
Okay, well then I'll direct my question to the mayor and then he can respond to yes or no.
Okay.
Because
really, questions directed to members of the audience, between the audience, kind of like...
Yeah, we're not going.
I understand that, but
y'all can meet outside and talk about it.
That's right. Okay. Well, apparently you are aware that about the HOA meetings here and there.
I'm aware of it. I facilitated
the first one. So you are aware there was an option A and an option B to this plat? And you are aware that option A says develop the land as originally presented with use of the 5-foot servitude in upholding the restrictions and being a part of the existing HOA, this option will give the existing HOA the right to oversee the construction of homes and ensure the construction is consistent with the restrictions. You are aware of that?
Yeah, I read it.
And you are aware of option B. Do I need to read option B? Option B says develop the rear portions of the D'Orman and Melanson property as a separate subdivision by the extension of Orleans Quarters Drive to the rear of the property with minimal restrictions as set forth by the city. This option would offer no protection of the existing Orleans Quarters restrictions on apparently 100 lots, with the only restrictions being what is imposed by the city as a minimal building requirements for single family residential. You aware of that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you also aware that option A was turned down twice?
I'm not
so
sure.
So then apparently
I wasn't there.
Okay. All right.
But what I will say is that I have counseled, I have suggested to the council strongly that this council completely ignore anything that's going on between two civil bodies, one being the homeowner association, one being the developer, that we have a plat in front of us that is presented to us by a developer, and we are to consider that plat and that plat only. And I would caution that we stay away from any civil matters as to why anybody did whatever they did.
Okay. All right, second
that's
thing
my,
I'm gonna
my
ask
advice to the council.
As a member of Planning and Zoning Committee, I personally take offense to this memo.
Which memo?
This memo to Mr. Carroll regarding our Planning and Zoning Commission that we are in collusion.
Okay.
I'm Carol Fumno. I live at 531 Venzuela Drive, Brule, Louisiana. There's nobody that told me to have the meeting on Wednesday, October the 5th at 6:30. It was my decision after I call all members plus the secretary to see if they was agreeable to meet and end this matter for us. And we all agreed to meet. Nobody else but me that called the meeting.
Dixie Daigle, 1705 Orleans Quarters Drive, Brule, Louisiana, 70719. Speaking in response to talking between the disregard for talking about civil matters, so I'm going to go ahead and break that also. The residents of Orleans Quarters have expressed their concern about the infrastructure, okay? The infrastructure with a Bove, the infrastructure with the drainage and other things. It is not just about the 30 houses on one side and 90 houses in the back. It is about, can 200 more cars go down our street and go past Ali Street? So the fact that we've been presented an option to give away land that is rightfully ours, that for some reason we are not being fair or just, that's personally for me, as far as my personal opinion. I think that the point that was made about the meeting being moved up was in response to the developer sending a letter. So therefore it appears, the appearance of the meeting being moved up because of his letter is where everybody is feeling that there's some type of urgency to move it up in regards to his response. So that's my comment.
Thank you. Next. Anyone? Nobody else? Okay, Council, you'll have any further, anything you want to talk about on this subject? Ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Top three derelict buildings. It's actually four right now. But let's go through these one at a time. At the very top of the list is the 143 East Main Street. 153. All right. 153. I was telling Council Member Hebert before the meeting, I was finally able to figure out where the owner of the property actually works. So I expect tomorrow, I found out that she's Patricia's classmate from way back. So we're going to go visit with her and try to talk her into doing something with the property that I really don't believe she's aware of. For those of you in the audience who don't know where that is, that's that house on Main Street, and you, right after you cross to go into Front Brule, the one on the left that's got that tin rolled back and all this. The town has racked up $9,000 in grass cutting bills, and we're trying anything we can to get them to get rid of that house.
Well, some of that is post Gustav.
Clean up and everything else. We're trying to get them to move the house so that it's tied up in an estate. So we're trying to do what we can to get that done. The next one is 234 St. Luke. Mr. Powell, who's the owner of the property, I sent him a letter in August 30th, and he called me the next day or 2 days later and said that he's still working on the house. I believe he is. He's got scaffolding everywhere. I saw him out there yesterday with a couple of guys working. So I'm willing to let that one keep dragging in hopes that he fixes it himself, and I trust that he will. 521 Gwynn Street is a really good story. Lamar Thomas has purchased the house, and he's pulling everything out of it, and he's cleaning it up, and it's going to be for rent before very long. He's really doing a nice job there.
I can speak to the last one on that.
1146 West Main. Okay, go ahead.
That one is scheduled for a condemnation hearing next Tuesday night before the council.
Yeah, we need to put that on the agenda.
And I had sent a letter early in September to the property owner of the tax rolls We were into 3 weeks last week with the letter, certified letter, not having been signed for, so Sergeant Ned Robinson personally hand-delivered to the property owner the letter and the inspection report last Friday, which was within the 10-day deadline of the council meeting on the 10th, so we are good to still hold our meeting next Monday night on that.
Good.
That's the oldest of the two? That's the oldest?
Yeah, it's been abandoned since 1988, one of the relatives told us.
Yeah, this past week, somebody done a lot of work around there cleaning the place up or something.
Talking about the wrong house?
No. Can I say the name?
No, I read it, you did.
No, they ain't done.
I'm not gonna argue with it, but the grass looks taller than the yard. No? Okay, all right, let's go on. The ones that are in progress, 408 Gwynn, the house is still for sale. I really don't know if they have any bites or anything like that.
That's not the two ladies?
Yeah, the two ladies, yeah. They have a realtor's handling it, so I'm not really sure. But if they get rid of it, that's gonna be the new person's issue. 3658 Live Oak, we have, according to the announcements, another review of that at 5:30 on the 10th. This thing just keeps dragging out for years, so we'll try to deal with it. For those of you in the audience who are not familiar, what we do is we have a part of our nuisance ordinance is what we call officially derelict buildings. Really, most people call them condemned buildings or blighted buildings or something, and we systematically go through them each week, and we've had success on a number of them, and a number of them in the process. So they make the list by a couple of us driving around and picking out the worst three. It's supposed to be the worst three, but it's turned into four right now. So
did they stop altogether on that house?
Which house?
Live Oak.
Yep.
Because I passed in front of there today, isn't, I mean.
Amen. Yeah. It's been at least 2 or 3 months since a liquor work's been done on that thing. So
we for a while.
Whatever. Yeah, right after the hearing 6 months ago, bang, the roof got on there, and bang, and put some windows in, bang, bang, bang. It looked, oh man, this is great. We got it. We on the road to success now. Then that's it. No idea why. I talked to the person who was supposed to make it happen. He said he doesn't know either. So we'll talk about it next week. All right. Any questions or comments on the derelict buildings? Anyone? Okay.
So we will be voting on one condemnation hearing next week?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Possibly. If he's his appeal will be scheduled. And if not, then we'll condemn it. I mean, if he doesn't appeal it. Or he didn't win his appeal. But it'll be on the schedule for an appeal and voting on it.
Well, it's their opportunity to say, you know, they have now received the building inspector derelict building checklist report from Hugh Miranda. So it's their opportunity to come in and say whether they want to try to repair the building or whether they don't think that they can do anything. And they all decide whether or not.
Yeah, they're talking the same building. Yeah, this is the one on Main. Yeah, I mean on West Main.
West.
Yeah. Yeah, they're talking the same. Okay. Discuss appointment of Rhonda Pirro to the Planning and Zoning. Mr. Carroll, you'll be happy. I already broke the news to him. Ms. Marianne was talking to her, and she said she'd be more than happy to do. She's been out of office for more than 2 years. She was once on the Planning Commission. She was once the secretary of the Planning Commission, and she's willing to do it. And I told her I would reluctantly bring it to the board, but hopefully y'all will agree with me.
Can we get her to chair?
That's up to y'all. We don't decide that. We don't decide that. Okay, any questions or comments on my, I'm going to make the recommendation for her. Any questions? Anybody have any comments? Okay. Next is Finance Committee review the September bills. They're in the package. If anybody wants to look at them.
Barry, want to ask a question. Very first one, Don DeVille, that's our audit. Is that the entire bill or is that a progress bill? That's 100% of the bill?
It's 6,500? Yeah, that's the whole bill. For those in the audience who aren't normally here, we review the bills every month. We have categorized by department, with the biggest one first. So if you have any questions or why we're spending the money we were spending, if you happen to try to answer it.
Also wanted to ask about five down from that one. Is Allstate Insurance refund of license tax $3,010? What's up with that?
Yeah, answer.
What happened was their insurance, they have to get insurance licenses through us, okay? And their first estimate, their first reports to us were over, that their estimates were wrong. And they paid us for what they said their premiums were, but there was a glitch in their programming. And since then, they sent in a revision showing how much we owe them. And what I did was I waited till I received the state report. I get a state report every year saying how much the insurance people owe us and stuff like that. And I cross-referenced everything, and it is legit, so we're going to get it paid.
They overpaid us, in other words?
Yeah.
We refunded them, right?
That's good. I was trying to get to that report.
Yes, no, it's... Anybody else? Personnel committee, I'm not aware of anything. Set trick-or-treat dates. 31st of October, we know that, but Addis and Port Allen and the parish, I think, are all going 5:30, 7:30, and I guess that's what I remember.
I think they're going 6 to 8.
Well, I know Addis is going 5:30. I don't care when it is. I last year, I thought it should be cut down to 1 hour. Whatever. And later, the better to me. I mean, I really don't know how to get into trick or treating in broad daylight. Kind of weird.
It is strange.
Depends on how small the kids are.
I don't know when the time changes. Who knows when the time changes?
November.
Oh.
Yes, after.
All right.
Last year, when it started getting dark.
What time does it get dark now?
About now.
Oh.
Sunset.
So much for that. Yeah, we all want to go 6 to 8. What do you want to do?
Let's go 6 to 8.
All right, 6 to 8. Got to put that on the agenda also. Anybody have an opinion about that in the audience? Okay.
Mr. Jones, Tom, would you like to trick or treat?
I'd rather not even have it.
You want to cut it to 30 minutes?
31st of October.
Oh, no, we got to have it.
One hour.
Dad, you have 15 minutes.
All right. Next item, recreation cooperative endeavors. This is kind of a long story, so I'm going to tell the whole story. For many years, since way before I was mayor, the town of Ruley has been very generous in supporting the schools and supporting the recreation programs. There's a lot of things that we, every year, we give to the schools. We generally hoard things, you know, things that are material, not just donations. And we also jointly give to the Alexander Park and things like that. On the other hand, our friends in Addis have had a staunch opinion that they don't give anything. Nobody gets anything. So one of the council members in Addis, well, it's been questioned before by the sports teams and stuff like that in the high school. But one of the council members asked that question a few months ago, and it was concluded that the mayor in Addis said that he thought it was against the law to do that. And so they decided to write off for an attorney general's opinion as to whether or not a municipality can give money to sports teams and, I mean, to sports organizations and all that, recreation programs. The attorney general's opinion came back. The attorney general's opinion says, yes, it is acceptable to do that. It is acceptable as long as it's for the public good. In other words, we can't give money to Joe's softball team goes around and drinks beer and all that. It has to be for the public good. And not only that, but the organization that you're donating money to does not have to be 100% used by the people in your municipality. For example, if we help contribute to the concession stand, like build an extra wing to it, or whatever we decide, buy some lights or some fences or something out at Alexander Park, it does not have to be used 100% by Bruley kids. It can be used by kids coming in from the outside as well. And so that means what the town of Bruley's been doing all these years just happens to be legal. I mean, when I first moved to Bruley, the town of Bruley was giving money to the KC Basketball League. Think about that, you know. But anyway, it is legal. However, they did say in the Attorney General's opinion, it is highly recommended that you have what's called a cooperative endeavor. It's basically a contract, and it says the town of Bruley is giving the high school an outfield, baseball outfield fence in return for good recreation and support of the, and you know, helping the kids in the community. It needs to be a contract between the two of us. So that all leads to what I'm about to say, that of the things that we budgeted to give to either the school system or to the recreation program or to like the West Baton Rouge Education Foundation, some of the donations that we've made, I'm going to make a list of, I've already made a list and I'll give it to you, I'll send it to y'all, but a list of the cooperative endeavors that I wanted authorization to sign. It just endorses the thing that's already in the budget. So next year when we have budget season, what we'll do is when we appropriate the money to these things, at the same meeting we'll agree to enter into the cooperative endeavors. I've talked to David Corona with the school board. I've talked to Pee Wee and maybe one other person, and I still got to get hold of Glenn Daigle, who handles the Education Foundation. And all of them, I explained the same thing to all of them, and they're all very willing to participate, to enter into a cooperative endeavor. So what we're doing here is the paperwork is catching up with the budget, so that's all we're doing. So, yes.
The only thing, just to supplement what the mayor said, is we're free to contribute to either nonprofit organizations or other governmental entities in terms of these recreational cooperative endeavor agreements. Doesn't matter if they benefit, if the recreational activities encompass more than just the children or citizens of the town really. However, we need to make a value judgment assessment that our contribution is less than or equal to the benefit to the citizens of the town of Bruley by this recreational activity. In other words, let's say that, you know, you were contributing something to a baseball team that had citizens from both Addis and Bruley, and they were asking for, you know, $5,000. Now, if that was going to be their total budget, obviously we couldn't contribute that. But if you had roughly an equal number of children from both Bruley and Addis, we could, based on that, give them $2,500.
Yeah.
Follow what I'm saying? So there's something, some sort of objective means of saying, okay, this is a benefit to the citizens of the town of Bruley, you know.
But I mean, what we typically give is like a drop in the bucket,
right,
what,
right.
They operate off of. I mean, that recreation program is this big, and we have this
much. Most everything we've done is capital projects.
I feel quite comfortable having looked at everything.
Yeah, it's not even close.
All the information, we're okay, but I just want to be sure that y'all understood that.
Right. Anyway, I'm going to put that on the agenda for next time, and we'll do whatever. We'll do it. It just authorizes me to sign, basically. Anything else recreational? Okay. Police committee, top five nuisances. We're not going to do that this week because Jamie's not here. Unless you got a written in. You don't have a report? You don't have a report, do you? Okay.
James? A lot of progress has been made. We've gotten rid of 2-3 vehicles. And we see some results with y'all work.
Again, for those of you in the audience, this is different from houses. This is dead cars and tall grass. We have to add two, and we have a list that we go by, the worst ones in the town, and we work our way down. So if you know of any or you're passing by, you call the police department and tell them, and we'll put them on the list, hopefully. All right, discuss pay increase for Officer Langmore. Chief, I mean, Ned, you gonna take that one? Why don't you come up to the microphone?
Sergeant Robertson, 3416, and we got it pulled out.
Well, okay.
All right.
Ned, would you arrest yourself?
You afraid of me or Rosa?
I think a lot of y'all know how shorthanded we've been with one guy in school, and what we did, we went out and we got Jason Langmore is the officer in question here. Jason's a sergeant with Addison Police Department. He's very, very knowledgeable, good officer. And when he's out on the street, I don't have to worry about Brulee, because he's gonna take care of his business. What it was, me and him and Jamie had talked about, they was gonna give him $15, give him $15 an hour to work part-time for us. He has no benefits or nothing. He still works for Addison full-time. But he was gonna work for us. Well, Jamie had his heart attack. We didn't get the $15 in front of y'all like you should. 6 years ago, Jason helped us out, and back then it was $10.15 an hour was his pay. Well, as he worked his hours here, naturally Debbie went what she saw on her paper, $15 an hour. Started paying him $15 an hour. And to me, he needs $15.
So Debbie's been paying $10.15.
Yeah, Debbie's been giving $10.15 because
old rate.
Right, old rate. But she didn't know either.
Right.
No, she didn't know what she's supposed to do.
She just did what she needed to know to be. I really like to see Jason go to 15. And right now he's worked 88 hours for at 15 at the 10:15 an hour. So we owe him $4.85 for 88 hours. At 15,
you're asking for retroactive money.
Right. And if Jamie hadn't...
I'm going to be honest with you, Ned. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I ain't buying it. He got what he got, and if we want to move something up going forward, I'll possibly could support that, but I don't see me supporting paying somebody retroactive money on something the council never approved.
That's true. Y'all didn't approve it because it never came in front of y'all.
Yeah.
Jamie got sick, and he didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
So... I can't see punishing the boy. He got out there and he worked his 88 hours. I can't see punishing him.
Well, Ned, I asked you the other day when you brought it up to me, what do we pay other part-time officers?
We got one from Platte where we're paying him like 13-something, because that's what he's getting paid, straight time. We're basing it on what they're getting paid on the full-time.
Just what do you pay them? Okay, you got one is 13. What's the other?
So,
what are the others?
We got one in Platte, one, David Johnson. I think they're all around 13.
Okay.
You know, but like I say, Jason, he's probably a 10-year man. He's a sergeant.
Is David Johnson a good officer?
David Johnson, he's okay. He called me for quite a bit of help every time he's out, but that's fine too. Possum, or I'm sorry, that's what they call him. Jason Langmore, he's just a seasoned officer. That's it, you know.
So, well, I'm not doubting how good he is. Mm-hmm. Nice fella. But Shane is not supporting retroactive pay.
Well, I'm going to throw this in there because I can't. I'm going to tell you this right. Tomorrow, y'all turn this down. And I'm going to be telling Jason, y'all turn it down.
We're not going to turn it. We're not voting until next week anyway, so don't get too fired up yet.
Yeah, I'm going to draw a line of sand that neither one of y'all go across.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, if it's turned down, whenever, it's not going to be too pretty on the street out there.
Okay.
That's up to y'all.
Did the chief promise him $15 an hour?
Yes.
In other words, there was a verbal agreement.
But
it was never approved.
It was never approved, right.
We didn't hear about it.
No. That's what it said. It just went me, Jamie, and Jason.
Yeah, but the verbal agreement happened before Jamie had his heart attack.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But adequate time for him to come to see us. He didn't talk to me about it, I know.
I don't know when he had the time to come see you when he had his heart. I don't know the dates.
Well,
you know, the dates and all that.
I don't know. I'm going to say that. Okay, well, so the recommendation is going to be to bump him up to $15 an hour. That'll be on the agenda for next week.
Okay, retroactive.
But he's asking for retroactive payment.
Okay, both of them.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. You're asking for retroactive plus going forward too, right?
So you want both on here?
You want the back pay and you want both.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, going forward, you want it to be 15, right?
I want it 15.
Yeah, but then, yeah, okay. All right, put two items on there.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Any comments from the audience or any comments from the council? Okay.
Well, I want to have, when did he, what was his first day he started this?
He talked to him around, somewhere around beginning of September about that he won't come on as part-time with, but we was having trouble, you know, with guy school and all that. Somewhere around, I'm pretty sure.
When was it, on the time, on his time sheet, what was his first work day? That's what Fish is trying to ask you. On his time sheet, what was his first work day?
I'll have to get that from.
Bring it with you next time.
Can we get Patricia to look that up?
Debbie does all the payroll. I don't know if you can.
If he does payroll, I can go in the office and payroll and check.
Well, I'm not asking right now. I'm saying for money.
Oh, okay, all right, oh, yeah.
Can we get his first day he put his, you know what, in one of our cars? What day was that?
What day did he get that? We'll get that for you. That's no big deal. We'll get that for you. Just make a note of it so I don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get that. That's easy. Anything else? Anybody? Okay, it's on the agenda for next time.
Thank you, Dan.
Discuss Brule Middle School Resource Officer. Before Jamie had his heart attack, well, let's go back further than that. When budget season was coming around, the chief of police came in front of council and suggested that we add a second school resource officer in the middle school. The second resource officer was going to be the middle school's SRO, but in addition to that, and especially what was added was that that person would provide the service to the school system as the zone jumper investigator. Zone jumper being kids that don't belong in the Brule schools, but who are in the Brule schools. The way it works is people turn in a complaint. It goes to Charlotte Blanchard, who's the supervisor of the school. She turns them over to the Brule Police Department. Brule Police Department goes out and visits people at their house to see if they're there when they're supposed to be or not supposed to be, okay? We had a school resource officer, and for whatever reason, he didn't want to do it anymore. So Jamie came in and suggested the school resource officer, the middle school duties would be the middle school and the zone jumper investigations. Fine. That was before the end of last school year. We finished the school year, we during the summer, blah, blah, blah. I asked Jamie and the school resource officer to come to my office sometime in August, I guess, maybe July, I'm not really sure. Because I wanted to know what the game plan was for the coming school year. When the kids get there, that's when you have your biggest influx of zone jumpers and, you know, it's a problem. But anyway, okay. So we sat down in my office, just the three of us. And Jamie could not possibly have been more clear. First of all, there was supposed to be visits done during the summer. There's a list of kids that they had visited once, but they suspected that had, you know, some kind of way not been caught. So there was a stack of them, I guess it was about 20 of them, that was supposed to be visited during the summer. The school resource officer at the middle school didn't do any of them. So Jamie gave him the stack, and he went over it, how to do it, when to do it, what to do, exactly how to fill out the form, in front of me. He did all of that in front of me. And school resource officer indicated that he understood what was going on, and he was going to do it. Good. I'm in line at Walmart after school started sometime, a few days after school started, my phone rings, it's David Corona. David says, Joey, he says, we have an item on the agenda tomorrow night for the school board meeting, and it's to give an update on how the zone jumpers investigations are going, and kind of like a summary, you know? Like we got 20 of them out there, and we visited 10, and five of them we ran out of school, whatever. And Your school resource officer went to visit Charlotte Blanchard today and told her he had not done any of them. He didn't intend to do any of them. And furthermore, he doesn't agree with the policy. Well, that was after Jamie had his heart attack. And as we all know who are in the council and government business, this screwed up Larson Act that we operate under says the only way a person can be suspended or terminated is on a recommendation of the chief of police. Chief of police is out of commission right now. We've been told basically don't stress him out in any way. So right now, the town of Brule has an officer at the middle school who is deciding what he wants to do for a living. And as soon as Jamie gets out of his, Jamie's supposed to go back to the duct at the end of October and hopefully be released back to the world, then hopefully we can do something about that. But in the meantime, I got a letter. And I must say, I knew the letter was coming, and I wasn't too upset about it. And I'm sure if I can find it. In the Norman filing system, that's not always an easy thing to do. Let's see. Let them go into recess. Well, I know I brought it with me, so calm down.
Everybody's calm.
Yeah, I know.
He's talking to us.
Yeah. Oh, I put it out here so I know where to find it. Okay. This is September 21st, 2011, Mayor Norman. A letter addressed to me from Town Clerk Debbie Berthelot, dated August 1st, was an invoice for half of the salaries and benefits for blank and blank, our two SROs in our Brule schools. I know that you remember that our board agreed to hire a second SRO as a result of Chief Jamie Whaley's offer to also have him provide our residency checks after hours in addition to his daily presence at Brule Middle School as directed by our supervised child welfare attendant, Charlotte Blanchard. I know that you are also aware of the backlog of residency checks that was created over the summer between the hiring of blank and the reassignment of another guy. While all of us were under the impression that so-and-so was fulfilling his duties, he was not. In addition to not doing that, he also informed Ms. Blanchard that he has no intention of fulfilling those specific duties. The result is now a larger backlog. All of this is compounded by Chief Whaley's heart attack and resulting recovery. While I do not have any desire to create any stress for Chief Whaley, I do think it's fair to request return of the portion of our payment. Total payment for so-and-so was $47,321.20. That is to go to so-and-so since he is not performing the duties agreed on with everyone. We made that payment in our check number such and such on August 29th. If you would like to discuss this matter further, I am clearly open to discussion. I want this matter resolved as you do, but both understand the critical role that Jamie must play in this resolution. I've talked to Landis about it. Landis Abear, our police committee chairman, and even though it's not a very pleasant thought to me, I do not wish at this time to bring this up to Jamie's attention. I don't totally disagree with David Corona's letter that they bought a product and they didn't get the product. So now I think the town of Brule is being held in a position where we have an employee that's costing us money and refusing to do his job. So in as much as the council or me cannot unilaterally take any action against this employee without the recommendation of the chief, and I choose not to contact him for another month because of his health, I just want to make you aware of what's going on. It's a bad situation, and I don't have a good answer for it. So if anybody would like to discuss it, I'll try to discuss it.
The $47,000 is for that.
That's
one?
That's for total. That's for both of them. You see, what happens is, whatever that total salary and benefits are, we divide it in half. The school board pays half, and we pay it half. So that $47,000 really represents half of two people. Now they don't make the same amount of money, but it's half of two people.
So our portion would be 25%. put an officer that they want back?
Yeah. If it comes to pass that we would pay zero of his salary, you know what I mean? The point of it is that he's making a point that they bought a product and they're not getting. Now, if for some reason the product they bought all of a sudden becomes available again and we maybe prorate it, I don't think it's anywhere near $25,000, but the point is it is money. This is my personal opinion. The money is part of the issue, but the real issue is the situation that we're in. And we're talking about a guy that goes to a school every day and is in the presence of kids. I have no reason to believe that he's doing anything wrong. But on the other hand, if you're hired for a particular job and you just say, I'm not going to do it, and you get away with it, that's not a good thing. So anyway, anybody else? Comments, questions?
Well, that's only one portion of the job he was supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah, but he wouldn't be there unless that job, unless we agreed that would be his job. We, the town of Brule, agreed that we were going to provide that service to the school board. See?
But who chose, actually, I guess my question is, who chose that type of, like, going door to door?
Responsibility.
Who chose it?
Was it the school board?
The school board has a clear policy, and it's all laid out. There's forms, there's everything, and it says in the handbook and everything else that the burden of proof is on the student's parents to prove that the child resides. And all this stuff about getting adopted and all that don't mean nothing. They have to reside in the school district. In other words, if I adopt somebody through the courts, you know, just as a sham that lives outside of, lives in Iberville or whatever, they still have to reside with me. They can't just be my adopted child and then just go back home every night to Iberville. They have to reside. And it says in the handbook that there will be house visits and the whole nine years. It's all laid out. The lawyer for the school board has like 42 parishes or 32 parishes that he's a lawyer for. And he says you have every right to go and make house visits and determine whether that's a violation. So it's all laid out as forms for him to fill out when he gets there, and you hand him the policy. It's all organized. It's very organized. It's been going on for, we did it last year with another officer.
And when he accepted that position, that was part of the responsibility for that position.
Wasn't there when he accepted it, but it was sure, as far as the chief of police, his communication with the council, that was extremely clear.
I'd like to know, what would it take to change his position? We need a man on the street patrolling. We don't need a man at the school.
You can't do that.
Please, chief.
You can only act on the recommendation of the chief.
Let the chief.
The chief has total responsibility for deploying his people and his equipment. Yeah. Total. Yeah. There is no maybe about it.
Yeah, you can't fire him without the
recognition. No, you can't even deploy him to do whatever shift. You can't do anything.
No, you can't do that, period. But you can't relieve him of his duties without a recommendation.
Correct. You can't reassign him. You can't do anything. His duties are completely in the
vote on the recommendation by the chief of discipline, pay, anything related to the person.
It all starts with a recommendation. Absent that, your power.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Just want to make y'all aware where we at right now.
So this is you're talking about every kid has to be kicked out. I'm talking about the fortunate kids who live in Baton Rouge, but they go into Brule school, and the unfortunate children. So it has to be
the only
across the board.
The only criteria is they must reside in the district. That's not just that, you know, any kind of legal games. They must reside in the district.
Okay, just go catch a bus.
Now, if there's any kind of like interpretation of that, that's strictly David Corona's interpretation. His Charlotte, you know, does the work for him, but he's the man as far as the administration of it. But as far as the law of the state and the policy of the school board, as written down and signed and voted on and everything, They must reside in the district. And if they do not reside in the district, they can't prove that they reside in the district. It's not like innocent until proven guilty. It's guilty until proven innocent. Then they are dropped from the system.
So David Corona does not make that decision.
David Corona, well, David Corona administers it, okay? What the town of Brule does is we do the house visits and we provide the information to Charlotte, who in turn provides the data, okay? Now, you need to understand the difference. Our job is to provide, she gives us the names of the people and their locations and stuff, and we do the investigation, and we hand it back to them. Now, if you're gonna ask me if, you know, exactly everyone is this way or everyone's that way, you have to direct that to David Corona, not me, okay? But I can tell you I can tell you for sure what the policy says, and I can tell you for sure what our duty is. And I can, you know.
But that's a state law.
Well, it's a state law that you cannot educate a child who does not reside in the district. Because what you're doing is you're taking people's tax money and you're providing a service to somebody who's not paying the taxes, in theory, you know. So, that's the way it works.
Thank you.
All right. Next item, capital outlay update. If you all remember when I brought that schedule to you and all that stuff last time, I said, man, this is too good to be true. Well, guess what? We found out it's too good to be true. After all this shaking in bushes, finally, we asked this guy, Jerry Jones, who's Rainwater's right-hand man, you know, when do we get our first check? And he's wrote back and said, your schedule is too ambitious and you need to priority one and priority whatever. So anyway, we are now not going to start till at the earliest January of 13 with the construction. So we still got some work. Yeah, we will finish about April of 13, if you remember. We got to go back to the legislature and get our move to some other priority. And 3/4 of the people tell us it's a guaranteed cinch, and 1/4 say, well, I don't really understand the program. So I really don't know what the hell. All I know is we lost Karen St. Germain and we lost Rob Barano as our inside people, so we got some work to do. But the good news is the design is going well. We had a meeting with the architect last week, went over the design, he has an artist conception, and we got a lot more to do with that, but you know, it's moving, the design is moving along fine. Now what we'll be able to do with it, we're not really sure. So, any questions on the capital outlay? This is for a new police station, ironically. But after we build a new police station, the state's going to put up 3/4 of the money in what's called capital outlay. Well, we're not going to do it unless they do, let's put it that way. And then after that, we should need no buildings or anything in the town of Brule for long after we gone. All right. Other matters, salaries of elected officials. A couple of years ago, I guess it was, we passed an ordinance that said that in the last year of the 4-year term of elected officials, that the salaries of the elected officials cannot be adjusted. And during the 4 years that they're in office, that whatever they're elected at, they stays at for 4 years. So nobody be moving around salaries. You can't go down, but you wouldn't be able to go up either. But it also said in the same exact ordinance that the town of Brule's mayor shall put on the October agenda a line item that says evaluate the salaries of elected officials. That would be mayor, chief of police, and 5 council members. That's the elected officials. That will be put on the agenda for Monday night. I have put together a rather lengthy presentation discussing a lot of things as it relates to salaries of elected officials, and I've done a lot of research all over the state. I've done a lot, and I got a presentation just about all the way put together. However, without the chief of police here, it would not be right for me to give that presentation. So I would like to put on the agenda for Monday night introduction of 3 ordinances, one to change the salary of the mayor, one to change the salary of the chief of police, one to change the salary of the council members, and one to change the vehicle policy. Because my presentation will show is that use of, private use of a personal vehicle is a considerable part, public vehicle, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Public vehicle. Use of a public vehicle for personal use is, in my view, is very much part of the salary, is part of the total compensation package.
Yeah.
So, what I would like to do is introduce the ordinances, and then at the committee meetings in November, I'll make my presentation, and whether you want to vote on it in November or December, but I would urge you to, as council members, to go out and ask the public what their feelings are as far as, you know, the subject in general. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more talk about it. I would give the presentation next Monday, but I don't want to do it on Jamie here, because it affects him, just like it affects all of us. Or whoever the people are in our places when we get here next time. Any questions or comments?
Well, in advance of anybody considering.
Yeah, well, the purpose is that by the end of the year, the salaries would be set, so anybody who wants to run for office will know exactly what they're going to make before they even decide to run, and they know for sure they'll be making that exact amount for 4 years. It won't go up. It will not go up. It stays right where it is. And tied into all that, of course, is full-time and part-time and a lot of other issues, the Larson Act. I will tell you one funny thing. This is part of the presentation. I think it's funny. The LMA has a thing where you can fire out a question to every municipality in the state and ask a question if you want to get help on an issue that you have. And I fired out a question. I said, does anybody out there have a definition of a full-time elected official? And I got five answers, and four of the five said, no, we don't have one, but if you have one, would you please send us the answer? And the fifth one says, yeah, we have a definition. And she says, I'll send you the ordinance. And the ordinance says, the office of the mayor of Abita Springs is will from this day forward be a full-time job. It didn't even take up an extra line, just one line. It said, from now on, it'll be a full-time job. That's it. And I specifically said, I want a definition of it. Like, well, how do you define that? So anyway, it's but that'll be part of the presentation, and it's going to cover a lot of things. I might need to get a waiver on the five-minute rule, but I have put a lot of time into it, and I think it's a lot of information. It's not a certain popcorn. But anyway, it's an interesting subject. Anybody have any comments on that?
Does the presentation cover vacation for elected officials?
Yeah, it says that after you leave office that you can send a bill to the town for whatever vacation you think you should have had. So, you know, there's an attorney general opinion is pending. You know, they asked the attorney general what he thought. And if he comes back and says elected mayors are entitled to vacation, there's going to be a feeding frenzy. Every mayor who's still alive, he goes like, man, back in 1974, when I was mayor, I was there, send me some money. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Anyway, all right, mayor's report. For those of you who are not aware, our live oak generator has been ordered, and they told us that delivery will be in late October, so we should have that thing. You know, it shouldn't take long to put in. We should be by November. We should be in good shape, or end of November. I attended a meet and greet of the candidates at the Addis Community Center last week or week before, and it was much better than it's ever been, because what they did, they set up tables where the candidates could stand by the tables. They had everybody, all from Secretary of State and all that, all the way down to everything. And the candidates would stand by the tables, and you could just kind of walk around and talk to them, rather than in the past, the forums that they had was they would ask a question, or they would give each one 2 minutes to say something and then ask a question. And they'd ask the question of, like, guys running for state representative, and each one would answer that question. Well, an hour and a half into it, you'd maybe have each person had talked maybe two or three times. So this was much better, in my opinion. And the lady who's the executive director said she's gotten a lot of good feedback, so I think they're going to do that again. Now, they are going to have a forum where they ask specific questions after the runoff, where there will only be two people up there of those who are still in the runoff, so we'll see. I attended the Chamber's monthly meeting, well, another kind of meeting, and there was a guy named Patrick Witte with the Louisiana Office of Development, and he was pretty interested. He's from New Roads, and he's pretty interesting. I also attended the CRPC meeting in New Roads. Buddy Caldwell was supposed to be there, and at the last minute, he called and said that he was tied up somewhere, and I opened the paper the next day, and it said the candidate, the only person who's running against him, had dropped out of the race the day before, so I know why he wasn't there. He probably three sheets to the wind, but anyway. Verizon had a ribbon cutting, and I attended that. I attended Saturday morning, something that's very impressive. They had a cancer walk, and I thought it'd be like me and maybe 30, 40 other people. Man, that was, I don't know. How many people you think were there?
A good 152.
Oh, at least. It was a lot of people. It was very impressive, very well done.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to put together a letter to the young lady who put it all together. I'm going to send her a letter from the town of Brule thanking her. She really did a good job. And another controversial issue I guess we're going to have to get into. This past weekend, I asked the police department to make passes by Mad Hog Saloon, because I got a letter last week from the state that says Mad Hog Saloon had been granted a license to have video poker machines. Well, I didn't even know that. They don't even have a business license in the town, so that's kind of strange. So I called them, and basically they're kind of under the umbrella of Bayou Bistro or whatever. Anyway, so I had the officers go by this weekend. The first two nights they verified that they're open till really late. But the third night, the officer forgot to go out there, but that's not a problem, because he got called out at 11 o'clock for a fight they had over there. So, you know, it pretty much, you know, we know they were open, you know. So, and then Sunday night, Officer Ned saw that they were open at, what, 7, would you say 7:30 or whatever?
They was just open 7:30 that night.
Yeah, and then the restaurant is closed afternoon anyway. And for those of you not aware, we have an ordinance in the town that says no bars. We don't allow bars. And they recently, the people at Bayou Bistro used to just keep it open while the food patrons were in there, which is perfectly okay. It's not a bar. But now they turn the management over to somebody else, and he leaves it open until 12 and 1 o'clock. And this is the second call. I had a beer bottle through an incident, what, a month or so ago?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be getting, we're going to have to write a letter and tell them cease and desist, and then we'll go the whole 9 yards. I'm sure it'll be a...
When did we renew the liquor
permit? Right after the first year. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, just make y'all aware that we'll be moving on that too. Remarks of personal privilege, anyone?
Did you speak to Mr. Owen Cole from Entergy?
Yes, I did, and they have contracted with somebody called Louisiana One Call on weekends. Those people didn't come out like they were supposed to. He says his supervisor should have known that, but he's a new guy in the area. And he had, by the time I talked to him, he had already met with Pee-wee and Jason on it, so apparently they're gonna do something. And I said, look, if you met with Pee-wee and Jason and Turf, you know, for the utilities department, I just backed off of it. They were ahead of me, actually. Anybody else?
Yeah, this Saturday at 11, we have a program to open the exhibit of historic Brule High photographs, observing Brule High School's 100th anniversary this year. And there'll be a short program at 11 o'clock, and then we'll have refreshments. And the exhibit will be up until the end of December.
Okay. 11 o'clock on what day, Ms.
Saturday? You're at LSU. Thank you.
Well, the game that starts at 2:30. You'd rather be at Ms. Bourgeois' presentation.
Yeah, but well, I told her I'd do something for
her. I know, but I'm, that's what
we'll
I'm
going to
help her.
We'll work it out.
I'll be in both too. All right. Anybody else? All right. Announcements. Planning Commission special meeting October 5th at 6:30. Cub Scout car wash on October 9th right here in front of the town hall from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The quarterly fire district meeting will also be October 10th at 6 p.m. The Board of Adjustments will be meeting on October 10th at 5:30 p.m. And the Landmark and Heritage Commission will be meeting on October 17th at 6 p.m. 6:30. All right, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Mr. Lynn, second. Mr. Kutcher, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay, aye.
Cam Lamar, please come in. Please.
What are you doing for a second?
I can't make out that same word.